Today is September 18th, 2013, and this is episode number 222 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, reticent recalcitrant. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
You're all into alliteration today.
I am all into alliteration today. You know, this is episode 222. I've got that associative mind thing, and I just immediately think of Room 222. Did you watch that when you were a kid?
No. That doesn't sound familiar at all.
It was old show when I was a tyke. Definitely one of my oldest memories. Started airing, I think Wikipedia says it started airing in 1969, 1974, but it was set in a high school, and it was like a milk toast drama show where I remember, speaking of milk, although it's with a K, one episode was about the edgy topic of the kid who was drinking at school.
Wait, that's an edgy topic?
It wasn't.
I think I called that third period.
It may actually have been edgy for the time. I may be being unfair, but one of the beauties of this particular episode, he was sitting in his car because he was dangerous. He drove to school, and he poured the milk out of his thermos and poured in the alcohol. Of course, as I understand it, I don't drink, but as I understand it, hard alcohol is going to curdle milk.
Being lactose intolerant, I don't know.
Oh, that's right. We are a fine pair for discussing this. Anyway, so he pours the alcohol into his thermos and closes his door, and he's sitting there drinking, and no one suspects a thing because he has a milk mustache. And that's how he was hiding his drinking at school. See, so it was.
Well, if he's doing Kahlua and cream, it wouldn't be curdling.
It was not Kahlua and cream.
Huh.
So anyway, that was Room 222.
I missed all the good shows, didn't
room
I?
Room 222. It was kind of a big deal. That followed Brady Bunch and Partridge Family.
Oh, and see, those were cutting edge shows.
Well, those weren't, but it preceded The Odd Couple and Love American Style, and both of those were cutting edge shows.
Now, the Brady Bunch, you did. Oh, no, it wasn't divorce. It was death of spouse. Never mind. I was thinking it was divorced couples that then remarried.
Well, that was vaguely cutting edge, but I don't think any of the subject matter of the individual episodes.
Right, and since it was their spouses had died, there was no divorce. So that took all that out.
Right. Oh, that's true. That is true. They were mm-hmm. widows and widowers. Well, there was a widow and a widower and a gay man masquerading as a widow, but that's beside the point. In 1970, Room 222 earned 3 Emmys.
And here I am learning about it for the very first time right now.
They called it a comedy series. It won Emmys in comedy. I remember this being a drama. Comedy dramas. Anyway, that's enough of this. Good Lord, we have so much to actually talk about today.
Oh, yeah, I guess we do.
We're talking about a 45-year-old TV show.
Yeah, we are. A 45-year-old TV show about that I've never heard of and clearly never seen.
Clearly. So, I wanted to do something a lot different today. I've been thinking about writing this piece, and I still may write it tomorrow, even though we're going to talk about it today. As a matter of fact, we can actually consider this to be the groundwork for this piece, assuming I do write it. But I want to look at the iPhone 5C and the iPhone 5S and figure out who should buy either of them.
You know, that's actually a really good thing for us to dive into, because
And we haven't talked about this ahead of time.
No, that's true. We haven't.
This is going to be working something out live. Well, not really live because
we're not dead.
No one's hearing it live, but we're working it out live.
You're destroying the fantasy here, Brian.
I know I am. That's how I roll.
Next thing you know, you're going to be explaining to people how we make the sausage.
Brian Buzzkill Chaffin.
Yeah. That wasn't alliterative.
No, it wasn't. Well, Brian and Buzzkill. Anyway, look. So here's the deal. For the first time, Apple is, you know, so Apple's releasing two new models, right? We've got the iPhone 5C and we've got the iPhone 5S, and the iPhone 5 is going away. The iPhone 4S is still there for people who want a free phone for subsidized plans. This is the first time this has happened. It's always been pretty clear the people that wanted Apple's new device were the people who could get Apple's new device,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking. You know, and that was kind of more determined by whether or not you were coming off your 2-year contract or not, at least here in the developed world where most of our plans are subsidized. But now we have Apple releasing two new models at one time, and they're not priced that differently, but they look a lot differently, and they definitely have different feature sets. So it seems to me to be a legitimate question, like who should buy each one?
Yes, it's a very legitimate question, and Apple hasn't done much of anything to help people figure out which is the right iPhone for them.
I would agree with that.
So,
because maybe Apple's never thought about this either.
Well, maybe they have.
Hold on, let me call Tim, see if he wants to join us.
Yeah, yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. Hello, Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. How are you? Oh, no, I'm good. Oh, yeah, no, thank you. The family is good, too. It's very nice. You have to run, sir? Oh, okay. It was nice talking to you. He's too busy to talk.
I'm really surprised. I should have called him. I should have called him.
Worst skit ever.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when we totally improv a skit. And when I say we, I mean it Brian, is. Because I saw the train wreck coming. I just sat back.
I don't think you should have to shoulder any blame there. So let's start by talking about the differences.
Okay. So first we have very clear cosmetic differences.
Very clear cosmetic differences.
Yes. So the iPhone 5C looks pretty much like the iPhone 5, except it has a colored plastic back and sides.
Ooh. I would say that it looks like the iPhone 3GS.
It looks like
but it's
looks
thinner.
Like the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 3GS got together and totally got jiggy with it.
Yeah, because it's got the nice smooth. I love the way the 5C looks.
I need to see one in person because right now I don't. I don't like the way it looks at all.
I still don't get that, but that's okay. I love you anyway.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
So it's got the colored background, and then it's got one of the things I love is the fact that Apple is the default desktop matches the color of the back. So, you know, the yellow iPhone has got a yellow desktop. The blue iPhone is a blue desktop, et cetera. And in particular, I love the way the yellow one looks.
You're not alone. A lot of people love the way the yellow one looks.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks to me, based on ship dates changing,
mm-hmm.
that the yellow one is by far the most popular.
Yes, it does seem that way. Although, of course, we don't know how many of which ones, you know,
we
Apple
don't.
Made.
So I'm making this bold statement with essentially no information.
Well, no, we have some information. The ship times have the yellow one, I think, was the first one to sell out, wasn't it? The 16 gig yellow one?
16 gig yellow unlocked.
Unlocked, right. And yeah, so it does seem reasonable that is proving the most popular. One way or another, though, there are several colors. There's blue, there's white. There's yellow, there is green, and there's a fifth color. What's the fifth color?
There's, okay, white, red, yellow, green, blue.
Yeah, I love that red. And I think it's because I hate it so much. It's like it's not red and it's not pink.
It's salmon.
It is kind of a salmon color. gross. I don't like it. If you like it, I'm sorry. I don't like it.
No, Brian, what you're supposed to say is, if you like it, you're wrong.
Yeah, fair enough. So inside the iPhone 5C, we largely have almost exactly the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, same processor, same screen, similar battery.
Yeah, a little bit longer battery life.
A little bit longer battery life. That's for sure. But it's a similar size battery, but a little bit slightly longer battery life. And same camera, same amount of RAM as far as we can tell. It's pretty much the same phone as the iPhone 5, but with a completely different package. You know, that nice colorful background. I know you don't like it, but whatever. The nice colorful back. It's made out of plastic. It's going to be a lot less prone to scratching from every scratch test that mm-hmm. we've seen for leaked models. I think that this is going to be a phone that more people will carry naked.
I walk around naked with my phone all the time.
No, the phone's naked, Jeff.
Awkward.
So, Apple is selling a case for it. I'm sure plenty of people will get cases for it. But I think this is going to be one that's going to just be a lot safer to carry around in your pocket. There's just less metal to be...
to get banged at.
Almost no metal to be scratched and banged. You know, and it, like I said, I definitely like them. It's got the same amount of RAM. It has more. It has a larger battery.
Oh.
So the iPhone 5 is 1,440 milliamp hours, and the iPhone 5C is 1,507 milliamp hours.
Okay, that's really cool. That's something that will be noticeable in real-world use.
Yeah, for sure. It's it will be. And it weighs a little bit more than the iPhone 5C. This is all according to Anantech, who got a hold of some.
Actually, it weighs more than the 5, because it is the 5C. Yeah. You said it weighs more than the 5C.
Oh, the 5C weighs more than the 5. So yes. 132 grams versus 112 grams. That's probably not going to be all that noticeable. It's a little bit bigger, like the less than a millimeter bigger, but it is a little bit thicker as well, a little more than a millimeter thicker. And like I said, same camera front and rear, and it's at $99 for 16 gigs, $199 for 32 gigs.
That's on a two-year contract.
On a two-year contract, right.
So really what we have is the iPhone 5 with a plastic back mm-hmm. and sides. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a little bit thicker, a little bit heavier, mm-hmm. but probably a lot more durable, a little bit longer battery life, and it comes in
colors. Well, you know, we say durable. The iPhone 5 was durable, but the finish wasn't durable. So I think
that's a good distinction.
I think the finish is going to be more durable, and we're definitely speculating on this one. But the finish looks like it'll be more durable, and the people who have actually held one have said that they're very very, you know, they feel very very solid. It definitely feels like an Apple product.
I can't imagine releasing the iPhone 5C if it didn't have that Apple feel. That would be really bad.
No, yeah, Apple's not going to bother doing that. That's for sure. Same display, 1136 by 640, the 4-inch display. Now, this compares to the iPhone 5S. It's got the Apple A7 processor. It's 64 bits, which is probably going to be have more meaning in the future than it certainly at launch day. You know, as developers wrap their heads around 64-bit. And then even looking at future generations of products when Apple eventually begins including more RAM. Now, Anantech again said that the iPhone 5S still only has 1 gigabyte of RAM, but it's R3 instead of R2. But it's still the same amount of RAM. So I don't really know how much the 64-bit's going to matter all that much.
It probably won't matter a lot today, but Apple doesn't do product based on short-term goals.
No, the 64-bit is a long-term play. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. The 64-bit is not about today. It's very much about next year and the year after that. But you know, that is still important. The iPhone 5S is going to have a longer lifespan in terms of app compatibility than the iPhone 5C.
Of course.
You know, because at some point, all of Apple's new devices will be 64-bit.
Right. Yeah, we're already there on their computer lineup.
Right.
And now we're going there with their mobile device lineup.
Right.
So, okay. So we have a few comparisons here without having rattled through all of the specs for the 5S yet. And I'm already starting to see some distinctions for
Yeah, a few distinctions. So we've got the same 8 megapixel camera, but now it's the it's got the what's the U stand for? The each sensor.
Oh, the micro. Oh man, I forgot.
So did I.
But
each receptor for light is larger with this camera. That's going to make for better photographs, and it's going to make for better low light photographs. This is
correct.
Sandro did a fantastic piece. Let's put a link to that in the show notes. Last Saturday, Sandro wrote a fantastic piece looking at every single little aspect of the camera. It's absolutely just fantastic. We put it up on Saturday. We'll have a link in the show notes. But if you're really curious about the camera, this is a pretty big deal on this camera.
Yeah,
and it's got the new True Tone flash too, which is the dual LED thing. It's supposed to make for better colors. We'll actually have to see on that. I imagine that Apple. I expect it to be good, but we haven't tested it yet.
I expect it to be good too, and. Okay, so one thing that I have seen is that a lot of people are going, 8 megapixel camera still. Apple blew it because the 5S doesn't have a better camera. No, it does have a better camera. It has a way better camera.
Substantially better.
And with the better sensor, that's what really matters. So they have good lenses. They have a really good sensor. And if they were to crank up the megapixels – What you end up with is a series of – well, all your images will end up having a lot more grain and artifacting in them because your sensor is picking up all of the extra garbage that's coming through from the extra megapixels.
Yes, and you also end up with no storage left in your device because you know you've got a ton of images.
Yeah, you've loaded up your smartphone with a bunch of crap images. Really big crap images.
And in no way, I can see an Apple hater going, where you're just making excuses. That's completely wrong here. There's a reason why Apple claims that more people take photographs with the iPhone than any other phone. And it's because they have done such a great job with the camera, and this new camera in the 5S is huge. I'll just say right now, we've still got a couple other things to mention, but I'll just say right now, if photographs matter for you and you're looking at the 5C or the 5S, get the 5S, period.
I would agree. If photography is a very big thing for you on your smartphone, the differences between the 5S and the 5C make the 5S totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you also have the, what is it, 10 frame per second burst mode.
Yep.
You have the ability to do 120 frame per second slow-mo video mode.
Yeah, which is cool.
Face recognition
The slow-mo is probably not going to make any – is not going to change anyone's life.
For some people, it's not, in my opinion, a make-or-break feature. But the 10 frame per second burst mode, faster focus and faster facial recognition, those – things right there.
Right. And more people will use slow-mo than use the eye tracking or the wave your hand over Samsung's Galaxy S4 to answer it because you have barbecue sauce on your hands. You know, more people will use the slow-mo feature on the iPhone 5S, then we'll use all of those ridiculous features on the GS4 combined. I'll predict that right now.
Yes, there are going to be so many videos that get taken of little kids at their soccer games, or friends jumping into swimming
skateboard
pools.
Skateboard tricks and bike tricks and you know, someone being surprised when they you know, open the door. I mean, there's going to be some crap.
People falling over twerking. The videos are just, they're going to be a lot of videos. I think the slow-mo feature is going to get used a lot more than many people realize.
But it is not a make or break feature, as you said. That was a good way of putting it. I'm actually kind of a little bit being paranoid. Not even paranoid. I want to be careful about this. I have dismissed Samsung's features as features that no one will ever use. And I don't want to overhype something like the slow-mo, because I don't think that's a make-or-break thing, but I do think it's cool, and I think that it will be used certainly more than Samsung stuff. So I just want to, you know, kind of draw that line.
Yeah, I'm in your camp on that. When Apple is adding features like this, which some people can look at and go, yeah, that's I can't make the words come out. It's a feature that thank you. I don't know why I can't make the words come out.
I'm thinking today. It's because you've been in the middle of folks, you have no idea what a trooper Jeff is. Jeff is in the middle of the Colorado floods. His town was almost washed away. He has been stuck without being able to get out of town for a while. There are some basic amenities that Jeff has not had access to. Jeff was very, very lucky for several days to keep power and internet. But
no cell service.
And no cell service, right? But those actually went out yesterday, which is kind of funny because it was so many days after the rain had stopped. But,
well, I mean, from your perspective, it's funny. Okay, it is kind of funny.
It'll be funny to you someday.
Right.
But anyway, the point is, Jeff has been unflappable in the face of this disaster. I mean, you know, this is a very serious thing that's been going on in Colorado, and Jeff is a stud, and you guys ought to send him an email and wish him well and thank him for all the hard work that he's done at TMO in the midst of all this mess.
You're far too kind.
Probably not kind enough.
I have working internet, and there you go.
True enough. So the point is that the iPhone 5S also has a larger battery.
Oh, right. For a second there, I forgot what we were talking about.
According to Anatech, it's 1,570 milliamp hours. That's 130 milliamp hours more than the 5 and 63 more than the 5C. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, he does stuff very, very well. Mm-hmm. So when he says something, and I'm talking about Anand Lalshimpi, when he does something, it tends to be right. So I'm assuming that he's correct, but some of these things haven't been specified by Apple yet. So anyway, more battery life, even though it's the same size, which, by the way, is so phenomenal that Apple can do that.
It's like magic. No, it is magic.
Same weight, exact same weight, exact same size as the iPhone 5, down to the point, the point one decimal, in all directions. Same weight, more battery hours.
Yeah, that's just, it's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy with the more involved camera on it. Anyway, and then the last major feature, hardware feature, that's the difference between the 5C and the 5S is, of course, Touch ID, which is the fingerprint sensor.
That, I think, is a big thing. Now, for a lot of people come Friday, and for a short time after that, it will be a gimmicky thing, but Apple threw down the gauntlet, and they have shown exactly where they see mobile technology, and I think mobile payment systems going, and it does not include NFC.
does not include NFCs. Touch ID will absolutely and positively play a role in a mobile payment solution that Apple is going to eventually unveil, not based on inside information, based on educated guess. And please ignore the fact that I got a few things wrong before this particular media event.
You know, I think you had everything right, but Apple hates you. So they actually went and changed things at the last minute just to spite you.
That surely. So who should buy which device?
All right. Here's what I think. If you are using an iPhone 4S or earlier and you are ready to upgrade and the camera features that you have on the 5S aren't that critical to you, the 5C is a really nice choice because it's a significant upgrade from any of those devices and you get it at a good price. Plus, you get to choose from the fun colors.
Yep. Plus, you can get for the same $199 that will get you a 16-gig iPhone 5S, get you 32 gigs of storage on the 5C.
Right.
And you know that's now, one of the interesting things about what Apple is doing here. There really isn't a lot of difference in the price. There just really isn't. And I'm fascinated by that. We talked about that last week, but I'm still fascinated by it. And yeah.
Now,
That's actually why this is a good question, by the way, of who should buy which phone, is because there's not much difference in the price.
Right.
So
right.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. So now, also, if you're someone that is more likely to end up with a damaged phone,
yep,
the iPhone 5C is going to be more durable simply because it does have the plastic back and sides. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, and again, we're
talking about. It is not waterproof, though.
It is not waterproof? Nope.
None of Apple's phones are. Okay, so now if you have a 4S or a 5, and actually it doesn't matter. If you have any iPhone model, including the 5, and you're looking for the most you can get for your money, then the 5S is a better way to go. It's also a good choice for someone that's looking at holding on to their iPhone for a longer period of time. So at least 2 years, because the iPhone 5S has the future proofing in it because it already has a 64-bit processor and it has the Touch ID sensor.
Right. And both of those things are going to be a big part of stuff that Apple does in the future. And of course, if you want to be on the cutting edge, you obviously want the 5S. If, as we've already mentioned, if photographs are important to you, you absolutely want the 5S. And if you don't like the look and feel of the plastic, I guess you'd want to go with the 5S. And I know that a lot of people, you know, it's interesting when the gold iPhone 5S backs leaked. The images of that, there was an initial and instantaneous reaction amongst white male tech pundits to say that this was a sign of Apple's downfall and this was a horrible choice and, you know, what were they thinking and this is going to be a disaster.
Right.
And my gut reaction was, shut up, it's not for you, it's intended for the Asian market. And, you know, stop being so bloody self-centered. Since then, since actually Apple showed these things, I've found a lot of people here in the States who are telling me they can't wait to get a gold one.
Yes, we have both heard a lot of people saying that.
Yeah, very. Yeah. So maybe it was not designed for the Asian market. Maybe it was designed for the market.
I think the Asian market was taken into consideration, but you're right. It was for the market.
Who it wasn't for was white male tech pundits, which includes us.
Yeah. Yeah. I am not a fan of the whole color thing. The colors don't appeal to me that much. But I'm not the target market. And
yeah, we have the space gray one or the white one. 5S, that's what we want.
Yes. And I have, I wish I could remember who it was. Someone in the last few days that I was talking with, and I'm sorry, I can't remember. So a lot of stuff's been like a whirlwind for me. But I was talking with someone that said, if you want to know exactly why Apple went with the colors that they went with, walk into Old Navy or The Gap. Because these are the hot colors.
Well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're buying a new phone for a young person in your life, you may want to consider the iPhone 4S, which is going to be the free with a new 2-year contract. If you want to get them one of the new ones, I would probably consider the plastic-backed 5C.
I have a slightly different take on that.
Okay.
If you're buying for a younger person, like mm-hmm. like your teenager or tween, yeah, you're getting a phone yeah. for. Okay, if it's your teenager, they're probably in a position where they will be doing more with the phone overall. I would consider looking at the 5C.
That's what I just said.
At $99. And, well, I know, but I said slightly different take. Okay. For the 4S, I'm having a very hard time recommending that to anyone.
Well, free, especially for, say, you're getting a phone for a kid, a tween or younger, free becomes pretty compelling.
Free does become very compelling.
And so what's your problem with the 4S? The 4S, by the way, it's free, and that's with it's a new model with 8 gigs of storage.
Right. The fact that it has only 8 gigs is a problem for me. And the fact that it is the smaller screen size, so it's yep. really legacy. And it uses the 30-pin dock
That's
connector.
That's true.
This is technology that Apple has tossed to the side. I was stunned that this model stayed
in the lineup.
Well,
that was one of the things
I got
wrong. I was convinced that Apple would sweep away all of the legacy iPhones all at one time.
Oh, we were both wrong on that.
I was just convinced of that. So your point that $100 gets a lot. So $100 for a 16-gig iPhone 5C. This is with the 2-year contract.
And if you get it from Sprint with the discount deals mm-hmm. they're doing, it's a free phone.
What are they doing for free?
They have some rebate or gift card or something they're doing. And you can get $100 discount.
Or $100 cash back or a gift card back.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So you can get a 5C from Sprint essentially for free.
Okay, but if you can't do Sprint for $100, you're getting twice the storage, 16 gigs. You're getting a mm-hmm. larger display. You're getting a faster processor. You're getting a lightning connector. Mm-hmm. You're getting more battery life, a lot more battery life. You're getting a much better camera. And all that for $100, if $100 isn't an issue for you, the 5C is definitely worth that $100. But if you have to go free...
If you have to go free, there's the 4S.
There is the 4S. So, I have a sneaking suspicion that where we really are with this is that if you want the colored back and you don't care so much about the camera and you're not interested in Touch ID, that the 5C is for you.
Sure.
And that otherwise the 5S is for folks. And I'm trying, you know, I've been wrestling with this. This is why I wanted to talk about this with you on the show before I wrote about it. Because I couldn't really make a clear case about who's doing what other than preference. You know, there are people who definitely just, they like the way the 5C looks. And there's people who definitely prefer the way the 5S looks.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a 5 right now and... you just want to get a new phone, get the 5S. Unless you just are totally in love with the way the 5C looks.
Well, anyone, yeah, I would.
But I'd say get a 5S.
If you have a 5, I wouldn't. If you have a 5 and you're wanting to upgrade,
get a 5S.
You have plenty of money. You should just probably get the 5S.
Right. And if you really, really like how the 5C looks, buy a case for your 5.
Yeah, that's true, because it's the same phone inside.
Yeah.
It's the same phone with a slightly smaller battery.
Yeah. And so you can spend $30 instead of $100.
Yeah.
And then call it good.
And call it good, yeah. And wait for the iPhone 6.
Right.
You know, besides that, you know, that's when your contract will be up anyway. But so, all right. So again, I guess we come down to the people that are going to want the 5C are the people who prefer the look. Don't have to have the latest and greatest camera, because the camera on the 5C is still good.
Oh yeah.
It's not as good as the one in the 5S. The camera in the 5S is
markedly
really
better.
Awesome. Markedly better. But the camera in the 5C is still good. Still very, very good. So you like the color, or you don't care about the camera, and you don't care about the 64-bit processor nonsense, and you don't care about the Touch ID stuff, then that's who should get the 5C. And otherwise, get the 5S.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And I have to kind of recommend the 5S. I have to recommend the 5S because of the future. The 64-bit issue and the Touch ID issue, both of those are going to play a role in Apple's future. And because of that, that's the one I would recommend to anyone asking me, unless they can make a compelling case for just not caring.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And for all of the new features that people are raving about in iOS 7, you're okay with either phone.
Mm-hmm. That is a very, very good point. Every new feature in iOS 7 works with both of those absolutely and positively. You're not going to have any problems. You know what? iOS 7
there's
works
an exception
just fine
to that.
4S. What's up? Touch ID.
Touch ID, and on the camera.
Yeah, you're right.
The slow-mo video mode, yeah, and the 10 frame per second burst mode.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
But other than that, you have all the same features.
Yeah, I tell you what. It's gone. It's like I never said it.
Perfect.
No one knows.
I love the magic of editing.
Yes. Yes. So this episode is brought to you by the good people at Squarespace.
Those guys are really great.
Those guys are really good. This is a web hosting service, a web hosting platform.
Yes.
Because they're not just going to host your site. That you can use their tools to build your site. And their tools are all WYSIWYG. They're all, you don't need to know any HTML. You don't need to know any CSS. You don't JavaScript or anything. None of this stuff. It's all drag and drop, point and click. Set it up. Upload your images. Make it look how you want. And go.
And it's going to look professional. It's not going to look like a GeoCities website.
It does not. I love their design. Their design is so clean. I think we mentioned this last time. One of their goals is democratizing good design.
Yes.
And that sounds like such just an obnoxious thing to say, but I have to back it up, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I have to back it up. Their design is it's good stuff.
Yes, and they've made it easy enough to build your site that so that it looks really good, that they have they've lived up to their claim that they're democratizing.
All these templates to choose from. There's an e-commerce platform where you can sell physical and digital goods, and or digital goods, I should say. There's credit card support through Stripe, which is a third-party clearinghouse. All their design tools, they're just drop-dead simple. It's good stuff. You gotta check them out, and you can do so without giving them a credit card. That's actually one of the really cool things. You know, there's a lot of places where you get a free trial, but that's after you give them a credit card, because the free trial is automatically going to flip over into a charge thing if you don't cancel it, right? That's not how Squarespace works.
Right. So there's two things you don't need to be able to set up a Squarespace site. The first one is you don't need a credit card.
Yep.
To get started. And the second one is you don't need to know how to code
at all. Not even the tiniest little bit. But if you do know how to code, we should just add that you can dig into it if you want
to.
You don't have to at all. So here's the cool thing. These guys, they sponsor a lot of podcasts. They've been really good friends to the podcasting community. They have been good to us. They're the first sponsor that we've had since we rebuilt the show back in March. And what a great sponsor.
And what a great sponsor to start with.
Normally they offer 10% off to people who come in through a podcast.
Which is nice.
In September, that's this month, it's 20% off.
And wow.
Yeah. Which is just fantastic. All you have to do is use ACM9. Now, I've got a handy mnemonic for you.
What is it?
Apple Context Machine.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
ACM9, 9 for September. You enter that as your coupon code, and you're going to get 20% off.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And we have the URL to them in the show notes.
Now, if you pay for a whole year at once, you get 20% off the whole year, right?
Right. Yeah, they've got it where you could pay month to month. And they've got three different pricing tiers that make sense to me. One's, you know, just for like the guy who's got just, you know, blog and, you know, his or her mom's going to read it and maybe a couple friends, and you're not worried about bandwidth and all that kind of stuff. And then there's one that's unlimited bandwidth, and there's one with that's unlimited bandwidth, and you get all the e-commerce tools too. Right. All of which, by the way, is very important. Unlimited bandwidth for your site, pretty darn cool. But you can pay month to month and get 20% off of 1 month. Or you can buy a whole year at one time and get 20% off for that full year, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I've been playing around with them. I still haven't finished moving my site, but it's because I'm all nitpicky and persnickety. But I'm really looking forward to it, because the one thing when we started looking at these guys, because they sponsored us, I started realizing how awful my site looks, just how antiquated it is.
Okay, I will grant you antiquated.
You were there. You went through that process with me.
Oh yeah. It was painful watching you go through that process. But when you hit the realization that it was time for a change,
yeah.
Well, then you really did jump in with both feet.
Yeah.
And what you're creating on Squarespace, I think, looks really good.
Thank you. But the point is that that's how good their design is. It just made me realize that the theme I had with my current site, the WordPress theme I had with my current site, was just, you know, just not modern. So check them out. Good stuff, Squarespace. We love them.
Thank you for sponsoring us. You guys rock.
Thank you for sponsoring. Yes. So let's see here. We had a couple of things today. I think, didn't something happen today? This has been a long day for us, folks.
The internet and power stayed up. So yeah, there we go.
iOS 7 was released today. We've been talking a lot about iOS 7. I don't know that's what I want to go to. I you know what I want to talk about? I kind of want to talk a little bit about that Plastic Perfected commercial.
All right. Let's talk about that commercial.
It came out yesterday, as of this recording.
And so the Plastic Perfected commercial, it's one of the two iPhone 5C commercials that came out. And if you haven't seen them yet, what they do is the Plastic Perfected commercial, it's sort of like watching liquid color plastic morph from swooping waves into the iPhone model, and it kind of fills itself in and comes to life. And so you get to see the iPhone kind of bouncing around, and you see it in the different colors. And there isn't any dialogue to go along with it, but there is a song.
It's a really cool song called Rural. R-I-L-L, by Sleigh Bells. Hey, did you listen to the studio version of that?
Yeah, I like the version in the iPhone commercial much better.
Does that drum part not sound weird?
The drum part doesn't fit at all.
So anyway, it's a really cool song, and I was so taken by
without the drum.
Without the drum. I was so taken by this by the song was I was putting together a little mention of it today because you covered it yesterday, but I thought about something today on it. I went looking for it to find it, and I listened to the preview in iTunes, and there's this like weird extra drum part that I don't even get even a little bit, but whatever. Anyway, that's not the point.
That's what happens when you let interns in the band.
that must be it. So the thing that about this commercial that struck me was the fact it really reminded me of some of the early iMac and maybe some of the iPod commercials, but in particular, some of the early iMac commercials. We're going back to the 90s. Steve Jobs came back, mm-hmm. You know, especially when they started doing the colors ones, you know,
right.
The Rolling Stones Colors Everywhere song.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right, that commercial, it really in particular reminded me of that commercial.
Yeah, and as you say it, I can just clearly picture it. Yeah, they had the different color iMacs and they're spinning around and...
Yeah. Yeah, and they did similar things, not exactly the same thing, but they did similar things with some of the iPods, especially once they introduced the smaller iPods that came in colors. You know, they'd have them spinning around, mm-hmm. coming in and out of the shot and stuff. And so I thought it was pretty interesting that they kicked it old school for this in a way that doesn't seem rehashed.
Yeah, you're right. It felt fresh and it was fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was done really well.
Yeah, and it's a very, very compelling commercial. And in an age when everybody and their brother is constantly criticizing Apple for either no innovation or, you know, like not being able to make good commercials, I think this is a fantastic
commercial. I think it's a really good commercial.
With those people.
And haters are going to hate. So,
you know, haters are going to hate.
Yeah, but you're right. It's a cool commercial. I think it's done really well. And as soon as you... said that it reminded you of the old iMac commercials. Mm-hmm. I could clearly see it.
Yeah. 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 Pretty interesting. Another thing that happened today, you wrote this up, is that iBooks was updated for iOS 7.
And it didn't drop any of the skeuomorphic elements.
None of them. It's got the wooden bookshelf still.
Mm-hmm.
The pages still turn.
Mm-hmm.
And curl. It doesn't match iBooks for Mavericks. It's still technically in beta.
They didn't even change the icon.
It's not technically in beta. It's still in beta. I wonder if they're waiting. Maybe they'll update it again for Mavericks.
Well, okay. I have two ideas, two okay. hypotheses.
I haven't heard this, so I'm
no, you haven't.
Interested. Very
okay.
interested.
So here's hypothesis number one.
Okay.
There is a big update coming to go along with Mavericks. And so until they get that out, they don't want to put resources into completely revamping this old version of iBooks. So instead what they're doing is rolling out compatibility updates so that people can continue to use the app until the big update comes out.
I like that.
Okay, so here's the other one. Apple doesn't like gratuitous skeuomorphism, but when they see where skeuomorphism actually serves a valid purpose, like giving you a book-like interface for a book, then they're willing to hold on to it. So they're not going to get rid of skeuomorphism for the sake of getting rid of skeuomorphism.
I would like that, but because I agree with you. For instance, that was the argument of the piece I wrote. Saying,
yeah, and then
you know, when it comes to the book itself, yeah. When it comes to the book reading experience, that skeuomorphism is one of those things that adds a lot of value. But the bookshelf, I don't think you can make that argument for the bookshelf. And if you could make that argument, the iBooks beta in Mavericks would have that same bookshelf, and the pages would curl.
Right, and it doesn't. So I'm leaning more towards there's a bigger update coming.
Yeah.
And this is just maintenance stuff to keep this version going
for
iOS until
7.
That other
yeah.
one is ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that one at this point. I think we will see some change. There's no way There is no way in heck. There is zero way in heck that Apple is going to release iBooks for the Mac for the very first time with Mavericks, and that it's going to have a completely different look and feel than the one in iOS. No way.
I believe you are right. Apple is too tied to the idea of consistency between apps across their platforms.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even like, okay, look at GarageBand. That's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. And it's a skeuomorphic mess. And
okay, I guess. Is it really?
Yeah, well, okay, it is a gratuitous skeuomorphic mess. Look at the wooden framing around the edges. That's completely unnecessary. Okay.
All right, fine. That's a good point. I was actually thinking of things like the. I thought you were going to argue about the sliders and the pan and the. Faders.
No.
The wooden. You're totally. I completely agree with you. You're correct about the wooden stuff at the mess at the edge. As a matter of fact, all that stuff is gone with Logic Pro X.
Right. So I have a feeling that will all be going away with GarageBand. But if you look at GarageBand on the iPad or iPhone, it feels a lot more like GarageBand on the Mac. And while there are certain skeuomorphic elements that totally make sense, like when you look at the play and record buttons, okay, that is an element that is still in use in recording equipment.
Right.
So that's a skeuomorphic element that totally makes sense. But overall, you know, skeuomorphism is part of the mess, but the interface in general, the way Apple has completely violated the user interface guidelines they created.
Yeah, but Logic does that too. Logic always has.
Yeah, I know.
Logic doesn't follow. I mean, Logic Pro 10 is closer to following Apple's own guidelines, but it is the least guideline friendly software that Apple does.
Even more so than GarageBand? When you close a window, does the app continue to run?
Yes.
Then GarageBand wins for the worse.
Fair enough.
Okay, but my point is that Apple is really into that consistency between their apps when they cross platforms, like GarageBand, like Keynote, like Pages.
Yeah. It's true.
So I expect that bringing it back around, I expect that we will be seeing a big update for iBooks that makes it look more like iBooks on Mavericks.
Now, that said, I am still very much hoping that at least in iOS we maintain those page curls.
I hope so too.
That they get added to Mavericks.
I can see that not happening. And simply because the way you are interacting with that piece of computer hardware is very different from the way you interact with your iPhone or iPad.
It's true, and we've talked about that. It is absolutely true, but I would like to see it added. I will not be upset if it's not added. I just don't want to see it taken away from the iOS version. I like those pages, especially on my iPad. I probably wouldn't care so much if I was trying to read a book on an iPhone, but I wouldn't try to read a book on my iPhone. So you know, I want to keep it for the iPad, and I hope that Apple does. And I got a little bit pumped up when Apple released this version today, and I think I was probably a little premature in doing so.
I think you're a little premature in doing so. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what she said, at least.
Really? I never heard her say that.
Well played, sir.
Well, thank played. You.
Oh, man. Oh, I just got so burned. Oh, I'm going to...
And by me.
I'm going to have to go beat Sierra now.
Again,
yes. All right. So, on that incredibly inappropriate note...
You have no idea how inappropriate I was about to make it. So everyone, you are welcome.
Take us out.
Because I have self-control. I think, yeah. Hey, that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening. Feel free to follow me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamet, both places. And if you haven't left a comment and rated our show at the iTunes store, please go do that for us.
Yeah, please do that. And you can follow me on Twitter at TM O'Brien. My personal blog is at geektells.com. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Unless, of course, they hear this particular episode.